Lunch with Pippa Hudson
on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
Now it's time for us to talk travel. And when I tell you that our guests today are full-time nomads, I don't just mean that they are away from home a lot or that they travel a lot. I mean that literally when we asked them in August, where can we phone you for this interview, they couldn't tell us. They didn't know where in the world they would be this week. They often don't know where they will be a few days in advance. Their names are Andre and Lisa du Toit. They're South African-born globetrotters who have been pretty much permanently on the move for the last 3 years, give or take the months of lockdown, of course. But thankfully, Zoom travels with them, and they happen to be in a similar time zone to ours today, which gives us a chance to hear their unique story. Joining us from, I think, somewhere in northern Italy. Good afternoon, Andre and Lisa. Great to have you with us.
Hi, Pippa. Nice to be here.
Where in the world are you? Where are you as we speak?
As you said, we are in North Italy. We're actually what most people will know as the big Lake Como.
Yeah.
And we are just on a small bay of that, Laghetto di Piano. So just a small bay off Lake Como.
It is the most staggeringly beautiful part of the world. I'm very, very green with envy right now.
And we've got good summer weather, so I'll just make you a little bit more envious for now.
Thanks for rubbing it in, Lisa. Really appreciate it. Now, let's talk about how you got there, because it's a long and convoluted story. Firstly, how long have you actually been on the move traveling without a home base? So we'll talk about what happened during lockdown. That's the exception to the story. But this dates back about 3 or 4 years now, doesn't it?
Well, yes, okay, I'll jump in. Hi, Pippa.
Hi, Andre.
It's been an interesting experience, I must say. I think it's just around end of 2017, we were still contemplating some options. And, you know, we were working professionals, and the idea was always to travel while we work and to prioritize getting away as much as we could on a yearly basis. And I think initially we thought, well, maybe we can combine this some way with our working career and probably go to another country, work some day, maybe do some, or maybe do 6 months here, 6 months there. But
looking at alternatives to how we could travel as much as possible while obviously still having money to do so.
Exactly, yeah. Because that's obviously the challenge. And somewhere in 2017, something just changed a little bit. I think we came back after a trip in 2016 out of Indonesia. We were away for 4 weeks. And for the first time at the end of that trip, right at the end, we were on our way to the airport. We were in somewhere in Bali, I think.
That's right.
And me and Lisa looked at each other and we said, you know, I don't think I want to go home.
You know, there's always at the end of a holiday trip, you're always looking forward to your own bed and your own shower. And that was the first time we looked at each other and we just said, you know what? Actually, right now, if we had to choose, we would just keep on doing this.
Exactly. So that sort of set a few things in motion. And fast forward another year, we figured, okay, we're going to give ourselves one more year. And by the end of 2018, we thought, we're going to wrap things up. Let's just get rid of everything. Let's see if we can make this work. Let's just sell all our stuff and hit the road and see what happens. But we have some family in Italy, and that's actually partially the reason why we're here.
Okay.
But we were invited to a wedding in Italy in 2018, and we thought, okay, that sounds like a good excuse to come out to Italy. And then a family member said, well, why don't you take our camper van for a month or two while you're here? And then we thought, wait a minute.
If we're flying all the way to Italy from South Africa.
We can't just go there for a month or two. And we should be pushed everything forward. And in February 2018,
we
I think,
our house on the market.
Resignation request in my work. Lisa was had her own business. So she pretty much shut down her office. And we just left South Africa around, April, May 2018. And with no intent to return. At that point, obviously, we have returned a number of times since then.
Sure.
But the goal was to travel full time. That's sort of
and that was the beginning of our full time travels.
Now, I mean, it's you've obviously put a lot of thought and planning into it. And I just want to emphasize for listeners who might be thinking this was done on a whim, that when they say they'd been thinking about it, they'd met in 2004, they got married in 2008, they'd traveled together on and off in all that interim time. So this was actually a dream 14 or so years in the making before you finally took the plunge, resigned, sold your house, sold almost everything that you earned, and left with just the backpacks on your back. And you mean that quite literally, don't you? You literally had a backpack each.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it sounds quite simple if you put it that way. And
it's not.
In a way, it's almost counterintuitive to the type of people we are. I mean, Lisa is an engineer, and I'm an IT professional. So
we're both very calculated.
We're analytical people. But the reality and what we're doing now is actually so opposite to that. Yeah, I can literally not tell you where we'll be tomorrow. So which is crazy. But you know, but to be able to make have this freedom, should I say? That you need to be planning for, and you need to be calculated to get to this point. So yes, yeah. we've been planning for this for years.
It was really just that last final decision, which had a little bit of spontaneity in it, and in saying, okay, let's pull it forward and let's take the plunge, because it's difficult to always pin that exact moment of, okay, now is the time, let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. I think one thing we've learned, was what happened last year. I just sort of put a pin in that idea, is that there's no good time. There's always going to be a bad excuse or a good excuse not to do something. So you can only work with what you have at hand in that moment. I'm not saying throwing caution to the wind, and that's not what we're doing at all. But I think what we're trying to do is we're also trying to inspire people to know that there's alternative choices available than just going through the motions or believing it. You're sort of stuck in what society expects of you or what the next step you need to go through. You can have freedom, but you need to make some sacrifices ultimately for it.
Just for those who've joined us late to the conversation, we're talking via Zoom to Andre and Lisa de Toy, two South African nomads who find themselves today on Lake Como, the lucky so-and-sos, in northern Italy, and don't really know where they'll be tomorrow or next week or next month, because they have been permanent travellers for the last 3 years. So it started with a campervan trip in Italy. Where have you been since then, Andre?
Well, 2018, we returned to South Africa. Well, after we did the campervan trip in Italy, we did for 4 to 5 months.
We actually visited 8 countries in Europe in that time, because we had the time. And, you know, Europe is actually, all countries are so much closer than we think as South Africans. We always think of things as so far apart.
That's right. But when we were planning on returning to South Africa for a few months, we actually had some property was up for sale. So we had to deal with a few logistical and administrative issues. So we returned to South Africa during the summer of 2018. And then we set off again. But by that point, we pretty much didn't have anything. You know, we literally just had our backpack. So we left, I think, March in 2018, was it? 1st of April.
On 21st of April 2019 for Asia.
Right. Yeah.
And
okay.
Then we, but with only our backpacks.
That's right. And at that point, we also had a fair idea. In fact, there's a funny story. I always think, you know, we sort of, obviously, coming from South Africa, you have a challenge with regards to the strength of our currency. So we tend to always to aim for Asia and looking for sort of good value destinations. And by nature, we are, I think, good budget travelers and budget-oriented travelers. So we tend to look at the map and see, well, where can we fly for fairly affordably, and what is the cost of living there, and how long can we obviously go there without a visa? Because that's the second
another
thing.
Complication. So, yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, oh gosh, I think we put up so many straight spreadsheets together, and just to try and figure out where's the best time of the year to be, so you sort of miss the peaks tourist season, and
you still get good weather.
Exactly. But so we wanted to go to the Philippines, but we couldn't find a affordable way to get there. So we flew to Taiwan. We liked Taiwan so much. We spent 6 weeks in Taiwan, I want to say. And then we just saw a great cheap flight to Korea. We spent 6 weeks in Korea. And from there, just that's the way things went.
I think it was 9 months later, we only made our way to the Philippines.
Yes.
So we were flying via Taiwan to the Philippines. And 9 months later, we eventually made our way there. We finally got there. But it was a fantastic time. I mean, 2019, we were able to travel so much. We do try and balance the speed of our travels, because we don't like to travel too fast. We like to get a feel for a place. But nonetheless, even doing so, in 2019, we ended up sleeping in over 52 beds in the year period. And sometimes, you know, there were 3 places we stayed for over a month in the single location. But obviously, in between, there's places where you spend just one night on the way to an airport to catch a bus or a train or something like that. So it all balances out. So 2019 was a great year of real travel for us. And then
2020 wasn't.
2020 wasn't.
No. We actually, on a whim, sort of, in 2018, we were in Italy. We met friends in Germany, friends from Germany and Croatia. So we invited them to join us in South Africa, because they also wanted to escape the European summer, and they kite surfed. So we met up with them back in South Africa, January 2020, just for 2 months.
2 months.
That was the plan. So
famous
we flew back.
Last words.
Yes,
exactly. And we all know what happened then.
But we did at least use our time during that time in 2020 to exchange all our spreadsheets of finding a cheap destination where you can get there cheaply, where you can live affordably or holiday affordably, and that has good weather, the things that we want. And we spent our time building a website or travel destination filter tool, which you can find on our website, www.wewillnomad.com. And that now helps us, and hopefully helps some other people as well, to look for the next destination, because that's always the search. Whether you're going just for a vacation and you want somewhere, you know, I'm looking for a beach in September and I want it to be a cheap destination, but you don't always want to go where everybody's going. We're always looking for those slightly alternative destinations, or like I say, some people want off season, peak season.
So,
we spent our time, I think, quite well.
Look, I think it's important to emphasize, it's not all roses and champagne.
It's not just a vacation.
At the beach.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Yeah, I mean, everybody is asking, how do you fund it? You've sold everything you own, so there is that capital from the sale of the house, etc., to travel with for a while. But at some point, that money will eventually run out. I mean, how do you keep going, and what's the plan for when that happens?
Okay, good question.
Tricky question.
That's the question we get most often. And I think it's an important one to understand as well, because a lot of people sort of stumble at this step. And, you know, it's the big mind shift is not what you earn, it's what you spend. It's your burn rate. It's how much you need to live that's important. And unfortunately, you can easily get trapped in sort of that consumerist lifestyle. And I think one of our big emphasis has always been, me and Lisa fortunately shares the same sort of outlook on spending, and which is critical, obviously, and the way we want to travel also coincides. Yes. So from the beginning, we prioritized spending less than we earn. And obviously, we were lucky enough to earn quite well. But not to spend it all. One thing we did was invest wisely. We bought some investment properties. And while we were in South Africa, that was obviously a good way to sort of generate capital. And eventually, the question is now, when do you make that move? And that's a tricky one. Now, fortunately, we don't have children, so it's a little bit easier for us to say, well, when are you financially secure? In other words, how much money do you need to sort of live on? It's impossible to obviously predict the future. Otherwise, I think I'd be a rich man. But, you know, the idea is like there's some sort of rule of thumb you can use just to get an idea of how much capital you need invested to generate income over time. And we got to a point where we said, I think we can do it. If we contain our expenditure for the first 5 years, potentially we could do this for a long time. And I know there's a lot of maybes, but that's life ultimately. And I think one thing to mention was, unless you sort of remove yourself from the trappings of a work environment, you can't ever be open to other opportunities. And even in the last 2 year or two, we've both sort of had temporary contract opportunities.
Which we wouldn't have had if we had our normal day-to-day life and employment.
Yeah.
So having that, the opening yourself to opportunities, and then also, of course, having a plan B and a plan C in place for if things don't go according to plan.
Which
because inevitably,
critical.
Things don't go according to plan.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's also really critical, is having a plan B.
For sure. And we're not near retirement age by long shot. So Lisa's still
some of us nearer than others.
Lisa's got a few more good working years left. And, You got that one.
I'm not going to ask. I think you're sort of mid-30s to mid-40s collectively. Is that a safe thing to say?
Collectively, I like that one. Yes.
Can we average that one?
On 40 next year.
No, okay. Lisa's a little is younger, and she owes me at least 10 years of good work. So that'd be fair. No, I'm just joking, obviously. Look, I think you always got to have a plan B, and I think the last year has shown us you've got to be conservative, but you've got to be cautious not to always wait for tomorrow, because if you're just waiting for something to happen or something to change, you'll never actually make that move. So I would rather say
balance.
Take the opportunity, find that balance. And for us, it's doing it now. You know, I'm not getting younger. I had a knee operation a few years ago, and then I realized I need to make some radical changes now. Be more aware of how fit you are, how well you live, and what you see, and how you live life, and how you see things. And look, it's not always easy. You lose connection with people. You're very isolated in a way. You know, for us, the hardest part is actually connections with people,
because
everything is fleeting in a way. So you know, one's really got to put a lot of effort into not you're getting out of your comfort zone, especially if you're two people. I think it's difficult. You create a bit of a bubble for yourself in a way.
Well, I was going to ask about that. I've often quoted a friend of mine's favorite saying about marriage, that's for better, for worse, just not for lunch. And you guys are for breakfast, lunch, supper, snacks, and drinks in between. I mean, what's it like having that intensity of the two of us against the world all the time?
Gosh, that's a difficult one. Maybe it's because we don't do lunch together that we're doing well. we do breakfast and dinner and ice cream, of course.
There's obviously a lot of truth to that saying. I think the true test is if you can
live together in a 20 square meter van.
Me and Lisa's first overseas experience was in Tokyo, Japan in 2005. Now, this is pre-smartphone days, and Lisa had an exchange program there as a student, so I tagged along for 2 months.
And we were there in a 20 square meter apartment, which to us as South Africans sounded tiny. I mean, these days, I know 20 square meters can be used so efficiently, and in Japan they did, but it was this tiniest of apartments for 2 months in a country that was so foreign to us. And like I said, without any translation devices or anything.
Wow. And that was an interesting experience. But I think, you know, you need to be similar in enough ways and yet compatible in many other ways. So you need to complement each other in similar. We all have both have our strengths, and we sort of play off each other when we need to. I may be a little bit more less emotional, obviously. But
and the Italian in me is still
Lisa,
here.
Lisa brings up the emotion.
I was going to say, you have to have had at least
it's
one.
It's called passion, not just emotion.
of course. But
sorry to interrupt. If I can just recap for the sake of those who've come in late, that we're talking to Andre and Lisa Detoy, who are full-time nomads. Their travel website is wewillnomad.com, full of tips on how to travel on a budget, where to go, unusual places to explore. Everybody is asking about passports and visas. Are you traveling on your green mumbas, or have you got an Italian passport, Lisa?
We do actually have Italian passports, but don't knock the green mumba, because to be honest, our South African passport is incredibly strong. And actually, for the whole of 2019, we predominantly traveled on our South African passport. Mm. And that's also one of the things that you can see on our website, wewillnomad.com, on our Where to Travel Next destination filter. You can put in your passport as well as what country you're traveling from. And then it will actually tell you if you want to go somewhere visa-free, if you want to go for a ETA visa, or whether you don't mind paying for a visa. It will show you what options are open to you.
Yeah, I think Europe is tough for South Africans, obviously. Yeah. I think the only place we can go to is Russia. Good tip, by the way. And Ireland is great. And Georgia, interesting enough, is also visa-free, which is really a great destination for anybody listening. Right now, it's tough, I think, obviously due to COVID, to go anywhere in the world. I mean, that's partly the reason why we came to Europe, is because we have Italian passports, and this is the only place we can actually move around quite freely. Right. Asia is pretty much shut down at the moment. So, you know, we would have loved to return there. We had elaborate plans at the point, but I think as soon as we get back into sort of, I won't say normality in air quotes, those are the destinations we love and highly recommend. To fellow travelers.
Visa is a very important requirement to consider when traveling.
Yeah.
But those things also change all the time. So countries are opening up and visa requirements change all the time. So it's something to keep an eye on.
I mean, we, like Lisa said, we traveled pretty much visa free for a whole year and only used our South African passport in 2019, even though we had the Italian in our hand.
Yes. Mm.
Okay. Well, that's good news for Voter, who's just bemoaned the struggle he's had to get an EU visa, and it's quite envious listening to you. So
One of the important things, Pippa, is that the way we travel is we don't set our hearts on this is where we want to go and then buy the most expensive flight, pay for a visa. We've always looked at what is a good opportunity. So we know we want to travel, and from there, look for a cheap flight. Look for where can you go visa free, and rather look for opportunities like that than have your head absolutely set on one thing.
For sure.
The other challenge, of course, with visas is in many places you've got to be sort of in a specific country in order to apply. You've got to be in a neighboring country or in your home country even. How do you navigate that? Do you simply move from one place to the neighboring country onward? Has that ever been a challenge that you faced?
Well, to be perfectly honest, we sort of avoid countries that have very strict visa requirements. I think the exception is we've been to Vietnam before, and so we've been to Japan with our South African passport. So that posed some challenges, and you had to be in your home country to apply for those.
And send off your passport to get that visa.
Exactly. So we normally look at visa on arrival only, or then electronic authorization options that we can do it from another country. Otherwise, it's almost impossible unless you have your mind set on it. I mean, some countries in Asia make it really difficult for some reason. Even a country like Indonesia, for some reason, you get a 30-day entry and that's it.
Yeah.
You have to apply in person. So it does make it difficult. And I mean, some places it's a real pleasure to just rock up and be able to stay for 90 days and no problem.
What about medical?
You constantly think about.
What about medical cover? I have to ask several people asking, you know, what do? You have medical insurance that goes along with you, or do you take your risks?
Okay, no.
Absolutely not. We
Absolutely
are calculated.
No. So that's probably the most important question we also get asked. One of the things we learned very quickly, when you're out of South Africa for more than 120 days, your local medical aid doesn't give you any overseas cover whatsoever.
Yeah.
So we are in a bit of a disadvantage at that South African. So you need a very sensible, most people get a travel insurance style to sort of cover that risk when they're overseas, but they intend to return to the home country. And travel insurance generally deals it with that way. They assume you're going to return
if
to your
you
home
have a
country.
Return
exactly. So we cannot get South African health insurance at all. We can get it, but it's useless to us. So we need to get global or expat style health insurance.
Okay.
So we sign up for a product that gives us global coverage in a similar way to what you would expect to get in South Africa. It's not necessarily more expensive, ironically, than we would have been, but it does make a fair proportion of our annual expenses. And obviously, because we are financially independent, we don't save for pension anymore. So we make those savings. We don't have life insurance because we don't have dependents. So we have very little other insurance-based product. And we don't have physical property, so we don't have other insurance. So medical insurance is the only major
thing. It's a very big expense for us annually. And if people are more interested in more details to this, there are articles on our website, particularly to health and medical and travel insurance, as well as also budget reports. So one can get an idea of what we are actually spending.
Fantastic.
Particularly on that. All that information is on our website.
Andre and Lisa, thank you so much for joining us. I'm green with envy to the stories, but you've shared some really practical advice as well. We've got to hand over to our news team, but I will leave you once again with the website wewillnomad.com. There are podcasts, there's information, there are tools to work to get your costings done. Really helpful site. And I won't ask you where you're off to next because I bet you don't know. I'll simply say safe travels to both of you and thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much,
Pippa. Keep well.
You too. Keep well. The Travel Nomads, Andre and Lisa Detoy.